The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We tried our best.
Or despite you and Bogus, I should say.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we tried our best to put the hex on the Yankees.
You were doing damn well.
Last night, but they are hex-proof. And even with Severino melting down in the first inning, and that's a full-blown meltdown in the first inning of a playoff game, here come the Yankees. And I think from my perspective, it's definitely different from a Yankee fan perspective. So what you were feeling at that time is probably going to be different from what I'm feeling. But I'm just thinking, all right, they're home. They hit a ton of home runs. Irvin Santana stinks. Like, they're going to come back. I don't know if they'll win it, but they're definitely going to come back in this game. This isn't going to be like 3-0, 3-1 the rest of the way. And boy, did they in the bottom half of that inning. Didi Gregorius hitting that home run. And this guy, you want to talk about replacing Jeter with the perfect player to replace him with. The Yankees have done that. They're on to Cleveland. It was a very entertaining game despite the length of the baseball game. And the Yankees flexed their muscles. Judge, in his first postseason game, hits a home run. You must have been just absolutely thrilled with that performance last night.
They probably hate me over at the television studios because we were still on the set when the game started. And we're in the middle of a segment, and the first home run, then the second home run in that first inning, and I'm going bonkers. It's hard to concentrate on football at that point, but I made it through. And I didn't – it's the playoffs. It's a one-game playoff. Essentially, it's a game seven, and everyone wants to focus on the past and how the Yankees have owned Minnesota, which is true, but there's only one link to that era, and that's Joe Mauer of the Twins. And so I – was not thinking about the past watching that. I think, okay, this is a new brand of Twins, and this is a new brand of Yankees, so that's irrelevant. And who knows what's going to happen in a Game 7. You know, maybe the bullpen that's been a stalwart of the Yankees all season long, except for that back end at times with Betances and Chapman, they've been iffy. You know, maybe they can weather this storm. And yes, with their power, the bats they have, and Didi, man, phenomenal. Most home runs by a Yankee shortstop ever in a season. He accomplished that this year. And a great personality as well, excellent teammate. And so I knew there was a chance if they could keep it right there at 3-0, they'd come back. And that's exactly what they did. They didn't waste any time coming back.
No, and Joe Girardi didn't waste any time going out there and getting Luis Severino. And that was just the perfect time. He didn't wait for his young phenom to settle down. He said, this is it. He just doesn't have it.
He was too hopped up.
Yeah.
He was too jacked up probably, and that's a huge moment. And when, as much as we hear guys say this and ladies who are in the sports world, you try to treat it as just another game. That is so difficult to do. You get out there and you hyperventilate. You feel a different energy from the crowd. You feel a different energy from the press. Everything's different than your normal circumstances. And so as much as you say that, treat it like any other game. Easier said than done. And for this young guy getting his first taste of postseason, it was clearly he was jacked.
Yeah, and a guy like him is going to throw that fastball really hard with great location and then use that slider to confuse hitters. When you're hanging those sliders, that's what's going to happen to you in any major league lineup, and that's what happened to him. He goes to Chad Green, who comes in that situation and gets out of that with just a tremendous amount of guts. And then David Robertson, who is someone who you never see him do much more than get three outs late in a game when they need him. There's been a few times he's pitched a couple innings, but that was his longest outing ever. He's never in the major leagues pitched longer than that. He was 3 1/3 last night for Dave Robertson. And then you bring in Canely. You think about the trades that Brian Cashman made at the trade deadline. It was all coming to fruition last night. And, of course, you know, the young guys, Sanchez and Judge and these stars in that core. And subtly, I think more even impressive than the Aaron Judge home run was that at-bat in the first inning. Because you're down 3-0. Gardner walks. Judge is hitting second. He comes up, works the count full on Santana. He throws him a slider on 3-2 on the outer half of the plate. And if you watch Aaron Judge throughout this season, that's a pitch that he waves at and
been
strikes
chasing
out.
It, especially after the All-Star break.
So what does he do? He's patient, he sits back, and then just serves it out into center field for a base hit under pressure with his team down 3-0 in his first postseason at bat. I mean, that right there just shows you that he's more than just a big, brawny power hitter who's going to wow you with long home runs. And that's what you got to love about the guy. And after that home run that he hit later in the game, the emotion that he showed rounding the bases was the most that he has shown, I think, the entire season.
All season.
Yeah.
Definitely the most emotion. Wait, who is that? And that just tells you about the moment and the atmosphere and what time of year it is. And you're correct. We talked about this last week. Judge hitting over 300 for most of the year. Then, of course, he had the strikeout streak he went on after the All-Star break. And that was the pitch that had been getting him out since the All-Star break. He was so patient at the plate. Still, set a record for rookies with walks, but he was striking out, it seemed like, every at-bat, because it was every at-bat. He was chasing that one, and he has corrected that and gotten back to being patient and being picky and selective in what he swings at, and gets that bloop single, and that just got the wheels in motion after the Gardner walk, and next thing you know, Didi, who's loving it right field porch all season long, pops one out, and the game's anew at that point. And, you know, that bullpen, I can't say enough about them. 8 2/3 innings of one score, one run baseball. They were outstanding. Chad Green, I mentioned this the other day as well, you know, one of my favorites out of that bullpen, sneaky fast, ball gets up on you, that late movement, and then David Robertson coming back to the Yankees in that trade, along with Frazier and Canely. Canely, that's the best I think I've seen him pitch since he came over to the Yankees. He was outstanding.
This is Joe Girardi, Yankees manager, on the bullpen last night.
You can't do that every game. I mean, you just can't, because physically they can't bounce back. But I gave them all Sunday and Monday off for a reason, you know, because of the way it is. And again, they were remarkable. We have a wonderful mix down there with guys that we can do it with. And, you know, I pushed some guys a little bit further than I would like tonight. But, you know, it's win or go home. And that's why I did it.
And the baseball postseason, bad bullpen need not apply. Because if you look at the most successful teams in recent memory in the baseball playoffs, World Series champs, all of that, you go right to that bullpen. You know, even the teams that lost, like the Indians last year, their bullpen and Andrew Miller. You go back to the Kansas City Royals and what they were able to do to shut down games. So, and the Yankees have that. I mean, they really do have that right now. And they added guys as well at the deadline, as I mentioned, that are playing huge roles. They bring Robertson back. Canely is in there. They're just what Brian Cashman did at the deadline to see the small picture in addition to the big picture of that organization and say, we have something here. You know, as long as I'm not trading away the farm system, let me add a couple of pieces here or there to this team. You know, we might be able to get to a World Series. They right now are rolling. I think the Indians are a better team. That's no knock on the Yankees.
No.
The Indians are the best team in baseball. They're going to be favored to win this series. They probably will. But if I'm an Indians fan watching that last night and the way the Yankees have played in September, I'm a little bit worried. I'm more than a little bit worried. I'm extremely worried with this team rolling into town on Thursday.
Well, they've been hot. They've had an excellent September. You got back into the running of winning the division. And the bats have been hot here of late. Hopefully they can stay hot. You post 8 runs in your first playoff game. That's a good start, but this will be a difficult task. Last time they faced the Indians, they got swept, and the Indians were on that epic run. And so it will be a uphill climb. It will be a tough road to hoe, but we love postseason baseball. Anything can happen, and there's a history of wild card teams winning it all, recent history of that. I think the Giants were the last one, 2014.
It was 2014, they beat the Pirates, Bumgarner, and the pitched a gem in the wild card playing game.
So we'll see, but enjoy this one. And there were some that were taken aback about the celebration last night. Well, this isn't the old Yankees where they were going to the playoffs each and every year and they were winning World Series year in, year out. This, no one except for Brett Gardner is on this team that won a World Series. And CeCe, that's it. Those are the only two. So let these young guys enjoy this and celebrate if they want. I hated to see them wasting all that Chandon, but hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's not just a Yankee. It's just any team for me. Like, once you celebrate getting in the playoffs and then you celebrate again after you win the wild card game, I always think that's a little superfluous. Right. But that's me from my seat. If I'm then, I'm probably celebrating, to be completely honest.
And the old Yankees, they wouldn't even celebrate just getting into the playoffs. They hardly would do anything.
Yeah.
It was once they got to the LCS, if they got to the LCS, that's when they would pop the bottles. But, you know, these guys haven't enjoyed this, so they decided to go ahead and celebrate again.
How about Brett Gardner, as you mentioned him, who gets knocked down with a pitch from Santana, mm-hmm. and then on the next pitch, I mean, it's like he pushed that ball into the stands with all of his might. I mean, it wasn't even a swing. It was just like he caught it with the bat and then pushed it out of the stadium with anger.
And that's how you get revenge on those pitchers. They go high and tight. They go at you. How do you get revenge? You don't bark at them. You knock it out of the park.
Yeah, and just the emotion there. And I know that we don't spend as much time on a national show talking about baseball because it's so regional, but you know, last night, it reminds you, you know, when you're in these situations, in these one-game playoff situations, how cool that is. I mean, you're living on every single pitch. And probably the coolest, I was talking about this yesterday with some guys in the newsroom, probably the coolest event, sporting event, that I've been to, top three at least, was the Pirates' first play-in game back in 2013 when they beat the Reds and Johnny Cueto when they hadn't been to the playoffs in 20 years. Like that emotion mm-hmm. and all of that pouring out. And the Yankees have been there a ton in their history, but you know, not with this group and not with this type of feel around it. Like 2015, they had the same situation, but Dallas Keuchel just shut them down. They were limping into the playoffs at that point. It was a quiet, I mean, it was like a wake what was happening in that playing game. Last night was just pure, raw emotion. Even when they're down 3-0 in the first inning, people are up going crazy and pumping fists and screaming. And you know, when you get a baseball postseason, when your team is in it, and there's few things cooler in sports. I will admit that. Just in the fact, especially when you get these one game scenarios, it's nuts. It's
for
so
sure.
intense.
Yeah, and it's a game seven in these wild card games. And you're right. I've always loved postseason baseball, and it's even better and magnified when it's your squad that's involved. But just across the board, it is so cool. Stadiums packed full, and they're into it, and it, you know, unless it's the Tampa Bay Rays, even when they were in the World Series, or that no one showed up.
Yeah.
But it's always just a great scene, and how can you not get into it, and living off that one? It's like, even though you watch it on television, it's like listening to it on the radio, because you're living and dying with every single pitch, even in the first inning. I mean, it's excruciating if your team's not playing well. If they are playing well, you're still on pins and needles, hoping they can hold on to a lead.
Yeah. And I think that everybody who's watching, at least I would assume that most people that are, understand that it's win or go home. I mean, how many times we have to hear that last time? This is win or go home. This is win or take all. This is it. This is game seven.
Stop selling it. We're already sold.
We got it. We understand. It's a one-game playoff. One team wins. The other one loses. You have to say it 50,000 times, Dan Schulman.
You know this is game seven, right?
Yeah. I mean, geez. And then tonight, the same thing. Win or go home. This is it. One team moves on. One team does not.
Somebody will be lamping.
Yeah, right.
Somebody will be traveling. One play
team,
another one.
One team playing, one team lamping after this one. I mean, I get it. You're trying to build up the drama and everything else. But, I mean, it was just over the top. They're crying out loud. But you got one team. And the Twins, I know we focused a ton on the Yankees. I mean, it's probably unintentional. And just the fact that you're a Yankee fan, we're in New York, people are talking about it. But from a Twins perspective, I mean, think about the season that they had. Going down the history books, a team lose 103 games a year prior and is in the playoffs, even a one-game scenario, but in the playoffs the next year. So for them to come out, put together the season that they did, build off of that, you know, they'll go into the offseason, they'll try to improve the team. They got to get better, certainly, with that starting staff. You think about that lineup is pretty good, especially with these young players. And Miguel Sano didn't even play because of his injury. So in this game, and this is a guy who almost hit 30 homers this year. So I mean, they definitely have a bright future. This is one of those losses for them that, yeah, you're up 3-0. Yes, you had an opportunity. All these things. But you're pretty satisfied with what you were able to put together because there wasn't a damn person out there expecting the Twins to be playing in that situation.
No one's even talking about the Twins. You know, earlier in the year, Twins? Who are the Twins? And they probably could even name Paul Molitor as the manager, but to come from where they were able to come from a season ago, where they went 57 ball games, and here you are in a one-game playoff scenario. They're not happy about it, but they've come a long way, and it seems like they're heading in the right direction. So they have to be extremely ecstatic about that. Their fan base has, because I'm sure those who follow them on a regular basis had no idea that they would get this far. That was great. But, I'm still in pain a little bit this morning watching Gary Sanchez
get hit. Oh, my goodness,
And recover
so
as quickly.
Dave Robertson, too.
Recover as quickly as he did.
That's the more shocking part. I mean, maybe it looked worse where it hit him than it did, but to me it looked like it was a square hit. I mean, you could almost see a recoil there. It was so bad. And then Robertson's reaction was classic. I mean, you hate to... Like, I don't laugh at stuff like that. Some people laugh at those
things. Why would they laugh at that?
Well, I don't know, because America's Funniest Home Video, like, made a living off of nut shots. Like, that's what they do.
No.
To me, it's not funny. It's traumatic. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, for him to be able to just shake, I don't know how you continue after something like
that. I'm with you.
Because that's a pain unlike any other.
None.
Well,
other.
For a man, I should
right.
say, I'm
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
You know, but for a man, it's a pain like none other.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm hurting right now, I'm telling you.
It was brutal. It was definitely, and that would be played over and over and over again. But you know what? You grab one of those champagne bottles, you put it on your junk after the game,
yeah,
and you feel pretty good.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Grab the Chandon, man.
When's the plane leaving?
We're going to close that.
Yeah, certainly. All right. One thing I wanted to bring up, too, before this comes up every year this time. About the one-game playoff, and when the Yankees won, they were the home team, right? Because then you go back to the old format, you're thinking, well, they already would have been in the DS under the old format. And this idea that in Korean baseball, that they, with the same format, if the team that is the lower seed, if the Twins had won last night, that they would play another game, and then it turns out into a best out of three. But if the Yankees had won, since they're the higher seed, then they just move on. Do you like that idea?
The Twins would have played another game.
Well, if the lower seed wins,
right,
then the higher seed gets the opportunity in a best out of three.
Huh.
But if they got, because they got to win the next, they got to win another one.
Right.
Twins. They can't just win one game to move on because they're the lower seed. But if the higher seed wins, then boom, it's just over.
Wow. I don't like that. I like how it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's interesting.
Now, it used to be where the wild card, it was, three out of five, back in the day. And I was cool with that. A lot of people didn't like that. Now we have what we have where you have the one game play-in, essentially.
Well, then three out of five.
And then three out of five. Yeah. No.
No?
No.
No.
Not going
to Korea. You know when it does make sense? Is if you have one team that won like 98 games and then the second wild card team is like a 500 team, then you're like, all right, it shouldn't come down to this. But it does, and those are the rules.
Exactly.
And you know what? It adds to a lot of excitement because, quite honestly, seeing the Twins up 3-0 last night, you're thinking, uh-oh, because the Yankees were a heavy, heavy favorite in that game, and
it makes
for a lot more excitement. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You want to talk some baseball from last night? We've got another wild card game tonight with the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. Just getting started. We're coming right back.
Give us a call right now. 855-212-4CBS.
That was year one.
Wow, yeah, that was season one of Gio and Jones.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I might have to blame the Twins for this.
Why?
I mean, make a pitch. Make a play.
Oh, Severino, make a pitch.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, we did everything we could. We ruined Severino.
Yeah, we did.
Ruined him.
That is true. And if that was our power, then we did succeed in that.
Four batters.
What's more troublesome for me is that I thought we were a team, but the fact that you would tweet out that your glee in watching the Yankees go down.
Well, see, this is bigger than you, though, Brian. You gotta understand that this has been a fight we've been fighting for our entire lives.
Oh, okay.
Now, it is truly something I gave up on years and years ago because it's an exercise in futility, but the presence of your Yankee fandom in my life has re-energized me a little bit in that regard. But it is something. It's just an uphill battle. I mean, there's just no winning it. Okay. Especially when you see a team like this, and when they're down 3-0, they come back, storm back, and it's their night, just like that.
Well, that is the added issue for me.
What song is that?
That was James Taylor, right?
Really?
Man, me no put a hex on the knees.
It's weird how he did that accent. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, damn them Yankees.
I can do it.
Put a hex on the beam.
Bambino put a hex on the beam.
Wow.
What is that? He can't be proud of that. Like, you know, dinner parties and stuff, and they ask him to play a song, and he's like, okay, there's nowhere he's going to that. You know, he's like, I mean, he doesn't send
that's
that out.
Throw him off the scent.
Put a hex on the beam.
Bambino put a hex on the beam.
So bogus. What are we gonna
do? So you
now?
Guys done?
No, now we're all Indians fans.
Oh,
right.
Damn.
Right. Yeah. We're gonna be as insensitive as possible, wear headdresses.
Yep. You got a big white grin.
Yeah, war
we
paint.
So happy.
Yeah, each day we're gonna rotate because we're all Mets fans in here except for you. So tomorrow is Pete's Chief Wahoo Day. And then after that we're going to go around in some sort of round robin format. So
I've been to Cleveland.
I want to see big smiles from all you guys.
Calm down.
Few smiles, no matter your plight.
One proud feather.
Yes.
All right, bogus.
Well, just to recap, it did start off so well in the Bronx last night.
And the 3-1 pitch, a swing and a fly ball, left center field, deep in the gap. Back goes Gardner. Gardner at the wall. Gardner will not make a play. It's a home run. A leadoff home run for Brian Dozier.
Corey Provis on Twins Radio. Eddie Rosario added a two-run shot later in the top of the first in the AL wildcard game in the Bronx. The Yankees had a pull starter, Luis Severino, after just one out with runners on second and third. Chad Green, though, struck out two to escape that jam. D.D. Gregorius immediately tied the game with a three-run bomb in the bottom half of the first, and then Aaron Judge put the Twins away in the fourth.
Swung on and lined to deep left field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Aaron Judge hit a line drive home run to left. A Judgian blast. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
And there go the Twins.
How fast did that thing get out of there, man?
Shut up. John Sterling on WFAN. The Yankees an 8-4 win. Eliminating Minnesota for the fifth time since 2003, the New York bullpen negating Severino's disaster by allowing just one run on five hits with one walk and 13 Ks over 8 2/3. The Yankees now begin a division series in Cleveland tomorrow night. The Central champs will start Trevor Bauer, holding Cy Young candidate Corey Kluber back for Game 2. The NL wildcard game is tonight in Arizona, 8 Eastern. The D-backs starting Zach Greinke, John Gray for the Rockies. The winner gets the Dodgers in a division series starting on Friday. Game 1 for the Astros and Red Sox is tomorrow. Justin Verlander, Chris Sale picked to start that one. And Nats ace Max Scherzer says he'll pitch in the NLDS with the Cubs, but he's not sure which game. Scherzer tweaked his hamstring in his final regular season start on Saturday. If Marcus Mariota misses time with his hamstring injury, Matt Castle would start for the Titans. And Brandon Weeden would apparently back up Castle. The Titans reportedly picking Weeden.
So throw a pretty ball.
After a workout yesterday that also included luminaries like Matt Barkley, Matt McGloin, and T.J. Yates. And the NBA is changing the format of the All-Star Game. No East versus West for the first time ever. 12 players will be chosen from each conference by the usual methods, but the leading vote getter on each side will then pick his team in a fantasy draft for the February game at Staples Center. Boys.
So we're avoiding the LeBron-Kyrie drama that you might avoid it.
We might be amplifying it.
What? Is LeBron what drama? There's no drama. Drama.
Oh, yes, there is.
Drama.
It totally is.
Come on.
Without a doubt. So I, speaking of the NBA, I walked in today, I asked Mikey B, because he was so focused on Knicks-Nets preseason because the Nets are his team and that's all he cared about. So I said, you know, what happened in the game? You know, what'd you think? And I thought that he had watched the whole thing, and he said to me, you know, my intention was to focus on the preseason game, but I couldn't stop watching the Yankees. He's like, I don't know what's happening to me, but I really, really love this Yankee team. He goes, it's different. He's like, I've hated the Yankees my whole life. There's always been the evil empire, all this stuff. But he's like, this team, it's like, for the first time, now I don't want to take the words out of your mouth, but it was something along the lines of, for the first time ever, I found myself, and I couldn't help myself, from rooting for the Yankees.
So when Judge hit that home run, I jumped in the air, fist pump. I was pumped on the emotion from him. It was cool. I don't know. I'm kind of feeling the Yankees right now. So
Damn. Stop. I'm all in.
No, for real. I'm in on it. I like it.
The neighborhood.
This is like Bogus and I. We try the little fun, little hex. This is worrisome for you.
Yeah.
Right here.
Oh yeah.
This is a problem.
This is not a problem.
This does not mean we can hang out. This does not mean we can take showers in the wee hours of the night.
All right.
No, okay. I'm serious. Nothing to do with you, Brian. I'm in on this Yankees. This is great.
I hate you.
What do we have? Wow. 27 titles.
Stop.
Excuse me.
Does your hat say traitor now?
In Benedict.
Yeah.
This is the true hex right here.
This is not a hex.
The best thing Mike's ever done.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, his life's going to be so much better now. I mean, think about it. Because, I mean, the Yankees are winners. And those of us who root for the Mets, well, you know, we're the opposite of that, basically.
I'll be rocking my Yankees jersey tomorrow, BJ.
Oh, no. See, if you start wearing gear now, if you want to tell me that you enjoy watching this team because you live in the New York area and it's fun and it provides some sort of excitement to you, okay.
No, I'll disagree with you on that.
Well, I'm just...
You can't be a Met fan and in any way ever pull for the Yankees. Now, I agree with Mike. The worst thing about this team is that they are the Yankees.
Yeah.
Like, Judge is a monster. Their new post-home run press conference celebration of the dugout
is awesome.
They rally. The bullpen's great. I mean,
Girardi's great. You got nothing wrong with him.
Binder going.
So you had something wrong with Torrey?
No, I'm just saying that there's nothing, like Joe Maddon used to get on my nerves with the Cubs. I think he's too quirky. So I'm just saying that there's nothing about them that's really hateable except
they're the Yankees.
Yeah,
and therefore I hate them.
Yeah.
I went to bed angry last night. I woke up angry this morning when I saw that they won 8-4. I didn't root for them and jump off my couch and kiss my cat after Aaron Judge's home run.
Michael Buscaglia.
Did you kiss Leon?
Not after the home run, but other times, sure.
Oh, wow.
It's a vibe.
Sometimes stuff like this happens, man.
I didn't expect it to happen, but, I mean, it's just in me, I guess. I don't know.
It happened with me with the Patriots. Like, I never was a big Patriot fan, and then watching them do what they did, I got into it, and now I love Brady. So I know what you're talking about.
The Judge is great. Was he 26?
You got to stop with the jersey wear. Like, that's where you have to draw the line.
Well, let me see if there's anything on sale, and then I'll make a decision.
You walk in here with it. Could you actually put that on? Seriously, all kidding aside, could you put on a Yankee?
Absolutely.
Oh, God.
Are you serious?
Yes, this team is fun, man. Wow. Don't you agree with me?
You know what we'll do?
That's crazy. Don't you agree with me?
How are you not spending a week with Boomer Esiason last few minutes?
Oh, wow.
This is just for record. Our bullpen is sick nasty, BJ.
Look at Pete. Pete's got that. He's just stewing right
totally
now.
Totally ridiculous.
Mike Buscaglia.
There's no way after all these years you've been a Mets fan that you could jump over to the other
side. I like
side.
Both teams.
Well, I don't think he's jumping over.
Well,
he said he could
wear the jersey.
I mean,
that's indoctrinating.
I just think
yourself.
He's getting infected a little bit by. And this is what happens when the Mets were in the World Series a couple years ago, so it hasn't been that big of a drought. But this is what happens when your team stinks and there's a team so close to you that everybody's paying attention to in your area. You just want a piece of that.
I might ask for tickets. Or is that pushing it?
Yeah, that's pushing it. Don't ask for tickets.
Well, who are you going to ask?
Yeah, first of all, who are you asking?
Oh, my friend Eric.
Oh, our boss, Eric Spitz.
He hooked me up. We're bros.
He's going to get you Yankees tickets.
Why not?
This time of year, good luck.
I mean, you just decided 2 seconds ago you want to be a Yankees fan. People are just going to be handing you tickets out of playoff games.
I want to check out this the judge.
Judge's chambers?
Chambers. That looks fun. I'll get a rope.
If you're out there in a robe, I'm punching you in the throat. That's your
I'm punching myself.
If you're out with the wig and the robe, that's it. You're
wearing
done.
A bathrobe out there.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
You're
going
to be the bailiff and arrest him, right?
Well, congratulations on your Yankees, Mike.
Thank you, BJ. Great win.
Nice win last night. All right. Coming up next, we'll talk a little more NBA in that all-star format. And also, Antonio Brown drawing the ire of some really important people in that organization. We're coming right back.
Follow us on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Perfect song since I'm vibing with my new Yankee compadre over there.
Right.
Yeah, perfect. We vibing, right?
Yeah, and he did his own vibe. He did his own version of this.
Yeah. Oh, it was excellent.
Thank you.
It was outstanding.
Yep.
I mean,
dripping down the thigh.
Spoken word.
A lot of dripping. It's a vibe. Don't you like your dripping, gushing, dripping down your thighs? It's a vibe. Get high.
Speaking of dripping, how's our friend down in Florida? Did you reach out to them?
Oh, no. This again. All right, so
what's the name again?
Her name is Katya Elise Henry.
Yeah.
She is a fitness/Instagram model who has millions of followers on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And she, of course, is a very, very beautiful person.
Mm.
So, in our search for in-studio guests, her name came up as someone that we'd like to have in the studio.
Why not?
So,
tired of looking at y'all.
Yes, I don't blame you for that. So we reached out, and she said, yeah, you know, I'm going to be in New York from time to time, but it'd be nice if you guys could help out with some of the costs of the travel up there, because I guess her Instagram career isn't exactly...
Yeah, no money involved in that deal, I guess.
Yeah, mm-hmm. not so much.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike initially just said, no, sorry, we don't have a budget to fly in Instagram models to be on the show.
Without consulting us, yes.
And Brian said, whoa, 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 there is a budget. It's the VJ budget.
There's always a budget.
Yeah. Yes, that's
always
right.
Always a budget, man.
So
I mean, it's limited. Depending on who you are, it could expand, but there's always a budget. Yeah.
So is there an update? This is like the Mike Biseglia show today.
Yes.
I don't know how it happened, but it happened.
Let's make sure this doesn't happen.
So, what's the latest?
I reached out to her. I told her the deal. I said, Brian, you'd be willing to help with airfare, with hotel accommodations, and I'm waiting for a response.
Okay, so they didn't get back to you.
They didn't get back to me yet, but it's out there, and I'll keep you guys posted.
Cool.
All right, very good.
Way to go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
I'll take that day off just for you.
Why are you going to take the... I don't need you to take the day off.
No, I'll take it off just for you.
You need to be here.
No. You may
need to intervene. I mean, she may see all this chocolatey goodness and jump me.
Yeah, sure.
I may need you to save me from the Instagram model monster. No, don't take the day off.
No, I want to be
sharing is caring.
Yeah. Well, I'm the one who introduced.
Yes, you did.
Her to you.
Yeah, you did. So I need you to be here, dog. She might see all this. Like, I'm never going to Florida again. Stay here. I'm going to Jersey.
Let me see how many followers she's got. She's
millions.
Yeah, very popular person there. I think it's millions. Let's see. Maybe not. I don't know. Hold on. Let's see. There we go. She's got almost 4 million followers on Instagram.
Dang, but it doesn't pay.
I guess not, right? Yeah. I mean, you would think that you'd want to go on a national radio show.
How could you leverage being an Instagram model into loot? You could be a social influencer or something like that, right?
Well, it's basically the same thing. Like,
She's working out, and she has different apparel, of course, she's wearing. So maybe we can become her agent, too, help her with this
endeavor. A couple of her posts here, if you look, have thanks to Ultimate Sports.
Right. Yeah, Ultimate Sports give her a couple of dollars.
Yeah.
How about that?
This guy, there's a few of those things. Here she is holding some sort of shake of some sort, so I'm sure she's doing a couple of things. But she needs to expand her brand here. We're the right people to do that.
Body by Biseglia with Katya.
Yeah, it just rolls off the tongue, man. I'm with you, yeah.
Right.
It just...
Hate
I didn't think of that.
Featuring Katya. That should be the whole website, too. Go to www.bodybybiseglia.com.
Enter promo code Mike.
Okay. So we just mentioned a little bit ago in the bogus update, this all-star game thing that the NBA is doing. The reason that they're doing this is for one reason and one reason only. There's too many stars in the Western Conference to leave out of the all-star
game. Right.
So if you're going to have the league's best players and it's so top-heavy in one conference, well, this is what you have to do,
yeah,
is get rid of the conference affiliation. So this one I understand, actually, because the All-Star game is about the best of the best, and you want to see that. And you don't want a guy in the Eastern Conference who's some sort of schlub who doesn't belong there just because there's more spots open there being in the All-Star game and other guys in Western Conference left out. So this isn't one of those instances for me that is a league trying too hard to fix their All-Star game. I actually think this is a very smart move on their part. And out of all the All-Star games, I like the NBA one the best.
Because you know what it is. It's right. Just run and gun.
Yep.
That is it. No one's going to play any defense. It's showtime. And it's just shoot them up, guys. That's it. And bad choice of words on my part considering what transpired in Las Vegas a Monday, but meant no harm by that. But it's just shoot. That's it. It's shoot the basketball, try tricks, try different dunks, whatever. Be very creative is a better way to express what I'm trying to convey. And so everyone buys into that. You know what you're going to get, and no defense is going to be even – you won't even hear the word defense when it comes to the All-Star game. So I'm cool with this, and I've always been cool with Adam Silver being proactive and trying to improve the league, whether it's the All-Star game, whether it's regular season, and whether it's playoffs, what have you. I like the idea.
Yeah, I think that it's a smart thing. There's really nothing that the NBA has done from a league standpoint that I really have disagreed with. The only thing that I have questioned them with in the last couple of years has been how do you police the resting? Because there's really no way. I mean, it's like chasing your own tail. Because all they're going to do is when they say, oh, we're going to teams that rest players, we're going to come down hard on you. Well, then they're just going to make up injuries. And there's no way to say that they're lying about it unless you send an independent doctor to every team on short notice to go check out a guy's calf or not. But
hey, it may be a niche market, a new job we've created.
Independent medical evaluators.
Yeah. Just like the uniform guy on the NFL sidelines.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if you have one there in each arena. For this, I mean, boy, would that get messy, though. Wouldn't
call
it?
For me.
Yeah, seriously. I'm telling you, I hurt. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
It hurt where? Well, and my foot. Well, your foot's fine. I'm telling you, it's not fine. I mean, that would just be a mess.
Yes, the back and forth, yeah.
Well, they fixed the schedule, though. Or they changed the schedule. Maybe I shouldn't say fixed the schedule. They changed the schedule to help accommodate some of this stuff, so maybe it won't happen as much. But like, think about the NBA and the NFL. And the complaining that we do about the NFL.
Yeah.
And in the NBA, there's none of that happening in the commissioner's office. None of it.
Nope.
So it's always like, good job. Nice. Take a page out of that, Roger. Kevin is in Youngstown on CBS Sports Radio, our friend. What's up, Kevin? How are you?
Yo, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. We great. How are you?
Deal. Yesterday, man, you had me laughing so hard I had to pull over doing your Ray Lewis.
Yeah, I love dusting that one off, man. Any reason I could do that one, I'm going to do it. Thank you.
So my question to you is, if you ever run into Ray Lewis, you got that?
That's a really good question. You know, so he was at, there was two guys that I really, really, really didn't like that were at Mayweather-McGregor. One of them I had a chance to say something to in Jim Dolan, the owner of the Knicks, and did not. And Ray Lewis probably would have been the same thing. So I'll be completely honest. I'm not going up to Ray Lewis and making fun of him, nor am I telling him how much I dislike the guy to his face because it's just a terrible idea.
Yes, Phil just educated us on how big his arms are, right?
Yeah, that's it. I don't need any of that stuff. I'm the safe space here in the studio. He's knee-deep in his Bible. So
I'll go up to him for you. I got your back.
He's a little bit younger.
I try to get your money from Carl Banks. I can handle Ray Lewis. Yeah. Hey, Ray Dahl, come on, man.
How'd that work out? Yeah.
Last question. Have you ever seen the movie Dead Presidents?
I have. Long time ago, yes.
Okay, now you remember when Lorenzo Tate came home from Vietnam and he ran in to the boyfriend?
Lorenz Tate, yes.
Girl?
Yeah.
That's his Ray Lewis imitation. You got to Google that, man. And you won't believe what he tells Lorenzo Tate about his girl. To his
Lorenz Tate!
Oh, well, you know, I don't care.
Hey, Kevin, you're out there in Ohio. You got Yankees, Indians. How do you feel about that series?
Well, I'm going to Cleveland to get my Indian jacket out this morning. We're getting ready.
There you go.
We're going where?
I go in the cleaners to get my Indian stuff out the cleaners. Yeah, man, we going to the World Series.
Oh, wow.
Cavs going to the back to the championship. If we could only get the Browns to face in the right direction. It's always one duck that won't fall in line. You know?
Yeah, it seems to be that same duck over and over again. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, we appreciate you.
Thank you, my man. Yeah.
Yeah.
You see Ray Lewis, Gio, you almost had me about to wreck my car doing that, man. That ain't right.
Yeah, I've never seen that movie. I don't
recall the scene, so I lied, but I did see the movie a long time ago.
I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. When people say, do you see this movie or have you seen that show, I lie all the time with that.
It's like automatic, obligatory response.
I don't know why, though. Why am I concerned?
Kevin, I didn't see that. I saw the movie, but I don't recall that scene.
You know what it is? I just think it's easier. Mm-hmm. The conversation becomes easier if you lie about it. Because if you say yes, then you just go, yeah, that was great, and then it's over. But if you say no, then the person has to go and explain the whole thing to you, and that takes a longer amount of time.
And you don't want
to
hear all that. Yeah, I'll just go watch the movie again. No, I don't want you to explain. It's similar to the conversation we were having yesterday over on the TV side about not remembering names. When you're introduced to someone, you see them again, you don't recall their name, and you're with someone else, and you introduce the person you're with and just say, this is so-and-so, and you hope the person who you've met before, whose name you don't recall, will say their name.
Absolutely.
And Aaron Taylor said he and his wife have a system where if he doesn't introduce the person to his wife within 5 seconds, she'll just blurt out her name, and boom. That's pretty good. Rectifies the situation.
That's what marriage is all about right there.
Yeah.
There you go. I do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I never remember anybody's name when I first meet them.
Oh, what's up, dog? Yeah, how you been?
Right.
This is so-and-so, and you are...
But people can't get offended by that.
No. Can't remember all your names.
And I'm just, like, more concerned about how I'm coming off to that person when I'm introducing myself than actually remembering their name.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
What's up, my man? Yeah, I remember you. Of course. Yeah, that was big fun. Uh-huh. Yeah.
From now on, I'm not lying about having seen movies and TV shows. I'm not doing it anymore. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. It's a ridiculous thing.
No, man, I don't remember. I didn't see it.
I didn't see it, and here's the second part of it. And I don't care.
No.
That's what I'm going
to
do, because then they just stop.
Recant.
Right. There was a guy that I knew in high school would tell me about every Simpsons episode. Like, I'd seen a handful of Simpsons. Every damn thing that happened in his life, he had a Simpsons episode to correlate that. It's like, this is when Bart went to middle school on the skateboard. I'm like, shut up about it already. Damn it. Remember when Homer and Marge got in that fight? No, I don't, actually. Why can't something just be something? It has to be something out of the damn Simpsons.
Ice Cube, it's Pete.
I don't know how that fit in at all.
I don't either.
I don't understand.
Wow.
Pete's getting jealous. It's been a Mikey B day, so he had to shoehorn in something. All right, coming up next, going to talk some NFL football. Pittsburgh Steelers infighting, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.